It's rather extraordinary, so your bus is commentary. A literary genius and a superior beat creator have come together, and we made a musical composition, which we think is a remedy to cure all the dance floors that's empty. You wanna dance? We got what you want. Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince buzzing out with a brand new funk.
Hey, it's Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
Heywood Turnip Seed Jr.
And Pete Bladel.
Tim Miller Lives.
Hashtag. It was
kind of an somewhere. The way that it happened. One day somehow he lives.
He's like Kaiser Soze, man. You hear about him. He's around somewhere.
Kaiser Soze.
Wait a minute. Happy to be here with you guys. Enjoy up enjoying your Thursday. It made me wanna. And we knew almost at once it was a. We're happy to be back with you guys. This was a song that made me fall in love with Will Smith.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Anytime somebody says he can't rap, I play this song.
He was on this is Will Smith right now?
Yes, this is the Fresh Prince.
Same album.
I mean, it's no Big Willie style, but, you know.
This is back when he was on the East-West Fresh Prince. Yeah. Him, Biz Markie, Ed B. Rakim. Yeah. Like, he's down.
Same
like,
album as Summertime. Yeah. Not Summertime. This is just on the stand.
Yep. The Freddy joint. Nightmare on My Street.
Yeah.
Charlie Mack, first one out the limo.
This was the song I was like, oh, this guy. This
and guy. Jazzy is a mean ass turntablist. He's not a DJ. Yeah. He's a turntablist.
He also started, I come to find out, listening to the Mundane Festival when Chris was interviewing Fonte, that Jeff is responsible for a lot of people singing.
Yep.
Fonte.
Yep.
Jill Scott.
Yep.
That he would hear something and he'd be like, you should be a singer.
Yep.
No, Jeff, like, I can't
no,
sing. Like,
no, you should be. Yeah.
Me. No.
Just also, literally working in there.
Turntablist sounds like what like a DJ would tell their family members at Thanksgiving to like make it sound like they have a better
a turn-tablist.
Job.
Turntablist. Yeah. Oh, you know I paid for all this.
Jazzy did.
You know I paid for all this.
I'm making $25,000 in the UK for 4 hours.
You know I paid for all this. So
you know they pay that for DJing?
Yeah.
Like, I got a friend that's a professional DJ.
Dude,
the money's ridiculous.
And all those like you know Avicii, Skrillex, type, those guys make stupid money.
Shake.
Yeah. Guy, people you've never heard of, like Bass Nectar is like my brother's favorite guy, and I like him a lot too. Worth $20 million.
Does he make his own music?
He does, yeah. Okay. He does like bass, like transient or not trans, whatever the fuck it is.
Transgender
dubstep.
Yeah, but it's like bass heavy, like trance trippy music. That's it's really fucking
with the
good,
light
actually.
Shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I saw that one dude. He's like the number two guy at the light show coming out of the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Right, we're coming out. The show was good. DC Curry. It was a good show. I'm like, who the fuck are all these people?
Right.
Out here. Like, wait a minute. We just did a show for like 200-300. It's like 1,000 people outside.
Well, what's funny?
Smoking lights.
just
Persians.
That's the thing, man. Like, the music can be pretty good, but, like, the crowd it draws out, it just, like, especially in New York, any kind of EDM show was just, like, every fucking 20-something banker who went to, you know, and they spend a bunch of money and do Molly and, like, oh, this is what we, yeah, I don't know, man.
They all try to be the Wolf of Wall Street.
Like, that's exactly, and that's why I fuck with Bass Nectar, because the crowd that he pulls out is more, like, heavy metal type people
or people
that I, like, at least relate to, because, he has roots in that.
If he does his own stuff, I love turntablism.
Yeah, well, to me, like, Avicii's the kind of guy who, he's the one of those DJs that, puts product in his hair and has very shiny shirts and bass neck.
He's Euro.
Very Euro trash.
That story we're going to come to later on about KRS-One, that leads right into that. We're going to come to that in a little bit, but that's...
But Bass Nectar's just like overseas. Long hair, t-shirt, shorts, like regular looking guy.
He's a
guy.
Musician. Yeah.
Chris Rock's
musicianship.
He's not a club
kid. Chris Rock said, Chris Rock was like, if I had known the amount of money that was in BJing, might be a DJ right now. Because he was a DJ. He was a DJ and a rapper.
Yeah, he said he tried to rap. Yeah,
he was. He was a rapper. He was. If I know that, I'd be a DJ right now.
You had to get out of that Red Lobster kitchen, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm four.
Scrape. All right, I'll look at the clock now. 15 minutes. Fuck!
Is that how it goes?
Yep.
Hell yeah.
I've worked in a Wendy's kitchen.
Ugh. Got a job. Time doesn't move fast
go
enough.
Go home smelling like onions.
Shit. I worked in the kitchen at a hotel.
Never stop smelling like onions when you work in
Wendy's.
Onions
get in there.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
Never stop smelling. I think we've all worked in kitchens. Yeah. You worked in the kitchen?
I was like a busboy at a Wingstop.
That qualifies.
Yeah.
You're good, though. You get to see the people.
Yeah, no,
I always said, if you ever saw the kitchen at a restaurant, you ate it. That's a TV show. The people who work inside, like, never go outside. Just the people who work in the kitchen.
You got to ask, you got to ask everybody else, is it still raining? Hey, is it dark out?
It's like nothing but criminals working. Yeah.
It's like
criminals
it's like a casino. There's no windows, no clocks, just dishes
in the sink.
Where'd you learn this? I learned this in fucking Pennsylvania
that
State.
And that damn overhead thing that you squeeze and the water comes out. That
yeah.
You know
it's hot as shit, though.
Yeah.
It's steam, man.
I wish I had that in my house, though.
Yeah.
You want that overhead
you could do a whole rack of dishes in 90 seconds. Yep. You just push the button.
To push through,
yeah. You don't really have to spray it that much.
Yep.
Yeah,
just spray it a little bit. 90 seconds, all your dishes are done.
Yeah. It's a great conversation starter at parties. Like, yeah, this is like my Power 5000 washer here. You know, runs about 2,000 BTUs.
Yeah,
these are the same ones they got at Popeyes. If that tells you anything.
Well, here's what happened to me at Wendy's. They discovered that I could speak well.
Oh!
I was on the cash register, moving on.
You dealing with the customers.
Oh, you can speak well. Oh, go get on the cash register.
And you looked at all the cooks like, see you later, sucker.
Yeah, they did that with my sister. They put her in a drive-thru.
I was on a drive-thru in the front register. You'd come in for your shift, and you'd look where you're at. Oh, I'm on drive-thru tonight. Okay. Yeah.
We're a very
Give
diverse.
Me the coat in the winter. Give me the one coat that we all shared. Give me the coat.
You know, it was terrible.
My sister
hated
that shit. We go to work together. And she'd be like, I'm going to drive through. Yeah, nigga.
Well, the problem with drive through was the temperature inside was so warm and outside was so cold. You got this rush. You got this wind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it was a calm day out, you just had this breeze coming
coat.
In.
We had Open one coat.
There's a gust of wind.
I'm on drive through tonight. Can I get the coat? Give me the coat. Where's the coat?
Everyone wears it, man. The 5'1 girl and then like the 450 pounds.
Yeah,
it's a big like military issue. Some dude who used to be in the service just left it there.
Hey, we lost the coat. Do you want the Grimace costume? All
right. Me and Troy worked at Wendy's together. We worked at Wendy's for a while. Troy went up to like manager.
Did they ever start splitting y'all shifts? Like, when two friends were together, usually they start splitting their
shit. Well, no, because I worked close, because I went to school in the mid-afternoon.
Oh,
so I would close.
Yeah.
Troy had another thing going on, so he closed. He didn't close nearly as much as I did.
Oh, they split me and my homies up. Like, me and my sister were together, because we didn't talk. Like, we would talk, but she's outside. Yeah. So, like, me and my brother, my buddies, though, oh, man, nope. You 5 a.m., you 5 p.m.
There was always a dude that was eating
That's like
food.
In school, where, like...
You were getting choked for that.
I did.
Well, people just ate food
dude
anyway.
Dude called me in the nugget. He's like, you know, I can fire you for that. I was like, for a chicken nugget? It's like 30 in here.
I mean, this cat Floyd turned around. He had bacon sticking out of his mouth. They sent him home. Floyd, huh?
Quality control, man. I was testing it.
I never did get sent home. Almost.
No, Popeyes, they didn't care that much about. But you could grab a chicken leg and just run in the back and eat it if you need a snack.
Yeah.
But at the end of the night, there's like everyone can walk out with a 20 piece because they just throw that shit away.
Mm-hmm.
The chicken is left, so they were like, food was plentiful.
Everybody's eating, baby.
Yeah. They didn't really get.
They didn't throw meat away at Wendy's. They would chop it up and use it for chili.
Yeah.
That's where the chili meat comes from.
Yeah. the day old burger.
I'm done now.
It's just old burger.
That's what you get for ordering chili at Wendy's.
It's just burger that's too dry.
You classless.
Chop it up in a big tub. You throw all this in the tub. You chop it up.
That's what people do at home.
Put it in that chili mix. Yeah. And that's that.
Yeah.
You gave up a long time ago if you're getting chili at Wendy's, man. You can't get picky about that.
I need my chili. That sweet chili.
I'll tell you what you do with chili. You take chili at Wendy's, you pour it on top of a baked potato.
Yeah, baked potato. That's what I see.
Eat it like that.
Can I get a half chili, half frosty? In the same cup?
I guess you're going to die. So sure.
Give me all
I like
my
sweet
gluten
and savory.
Once.
I like the combination.
It's got a good texture.
I'm a fast foodie.
Wendy's got the good strawberry lemonade. It's not
about this movie right quick. For those who have watched me on Randolph Terrence 15-second movie review, stay the fuck out of Jupiter Ascending. Just stay out of that movie.
Jupiter Ascending.
I should have said this on Monday's podcast so people could know.
It might be too late by now.
I know. Stay the fuck out of Jupiter Ascending.
But what about the 3D effects, man?
You gave that review with your 3D glasses on.
Yeah. It's digital 3D. Digital 3D is not that good. You can't even tell the difference. I kept taking the glasses off, putting them on like. I was like, I don't see any difference because they don't do that. Usually, other 3D, they have that thing at the beginning. Put your 3D glasses on now.
Yeah.
You know? There was none of that in this one. So I was like, is there any different? It's not no big deal.
So it's not good at all?
Digital 3D is not.
Yeah, there's a difference between the way they film it and or if they just add it in post-production.
What was a Clooney movie?
Gravity.
You see that in 3D.
I saw that.
That shit's amazing.
Yeah. Avatar, as much as I thought Avatar was the worst fucking movie.
It's a bad movie, but it's really good.
Yeah, I saw that, and right from the very beginning where that drop of water is floating in front of his face, I was like, oh, this is going to be different. Yeah. This is special.
When they had them Hallelujah Mountains, that shit was dope.
The movie's terrible.
They're making a sequel, right?
Oh, yeah, they're making a couple of
them. They have to.
They're calling it. I think they're calling it Retard.
Retreat.
Yeah, talking about Jupiter Ascending. Horrific. I said on the thing, Jupiter said, if you ever wonder what the Wachowski siblings see when they close their eyes at night and go to, that's what Jupiter Ascending is. It's a weird dream sequency type. It's a lot of unfinished storylines.
Why do you call them siblings?
Because you can't really call them brother and brother anymore. You can call them brother and sister.
Yeah, one of them's a woman.
I guess you can call them brother and sister.
They are.
I just call them siblings. Right?
Siblings is the word you use for brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Before Vivian Matrix, I would have said, you want to know what the fuck a Wachowski brothers see in their head? These motherfuckers.
I guess you can say the Wachowski kids.
Yeah.
Since they're the children of the...
I actually thought about it. I sat in the car and thought about it. How am I going to say this?
In 15 seconds.
So is it Speed Racer bad?
Yes.
Okay.
But
Speed Racer looked good.
But visually, all their movies look great visually. Yeah. Jupiter Ascending looks great visually.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it looks fantastic.
So wait for the
Blu-ray. They're really good about racial equality and sexual equality.
Yeah, they
and they get everything on that tone. They get all that right.
What is Cornel West doing in The Matrix?
Yeah, exactly. They get all that right. They're really good about that kind of stuff. But the storylines in our movies fucking stink.
Cloud Atlas was discombobulated.
Too much shit happened.
Cloud Atlas was based on a book.
Yeah,
and it was supposed to be this unfilmable book.
When it went down,
that's why.
Well, guess what?
I was like, man, who's Halle Berry?
Window this shit down.
Halle Berry's an Asian woman.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But that's Halle Berry.
No, Tom Hanks is the Asian woman. Ah,
oh, okay.
Hence the Wachowski siblings.
Why are they old? Are they in the future?
Yeah.
But it looked like the past.
These Asian people.
It's like that's the future of Castaway.
I still think the Wachowskis get a pass just because The Matrix. That's one of the all-time greats.
That's not the thing. Jupiter Ascending has good actors in it. That's how they got them.
Yeah.
You know we made The Matrix. Oh, shit. We're going to do another one?
But Channing Tatum is the action star. Is he good?
But I actually think he's a decent actor.
The Matrix in 1999. They haven't made another Matrix in the past 16 years. Why would you trust them at this point? True.
Apparently Jimmy Merritt does.
Like, even
Jimmy
the second Merritt. Well, he said that.
He's into sci-fi stuff.
I'm into sci-fi stuff, and I'm like, this is some bullshit. I just wanted to stand up and shout that.
Turn around. You guys see this shit?
We're getting hoodwinked, bamboozled, run us astray.
I don't think I've seen, other than The Matrix, any of their movies.
You didn't see Speed Racer on HBO?
No.
It was on a lot.
I've only seen The Matrix movies. I haven't seen anything else.
I've only seen the first one.
I saw Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
I saw Cloud Atlas because it was on a lot.
Yeah.
So anytime you turn it on.
HBO runs the shit out of them.
Yeah. That's how I felt about The Hobbit.
Man, fuck the Hobbit.
You can watch the whole movie, but you don't have to watch it in one sitting because it was on so much. Yeah. You just turn the TV on. Oh, this is about where I was watching. All right, you just sit down and start watching it.
Those long, boring.
Now they show the drag.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I can clue in now. Fine. I'm in it.
You got me.
Yeah. Like you got me. And then they have like the guy that was the Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
He's in Jupiter Ascending.
They got some good, like with Sean Bean, the dude from the first
Game of Thrones.
I like him.
No, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Ned Stark,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's Ned Stark. I like him, man.
The moral high ground, and he got killed, which shows you.
Take it if you want to.
Moral high ground.
Take it by yourself.
Him and his son got killed behind the moral high ground. He's his father's son. He got killed the same way.
That's what Joffrey said. Your dad was a great man. Now his head is on a pike.
Jesus.
It's so funny with Game of Thrones now, like all the fucked up stuff that's happened. You look back at like Ned Stark getting killed. It's like, oh, that's not that bad.
The moment, everybody was like, shit!
But he was an alien. We're like, they killed the big dude. Yeah. That's the guy.
And I put the tweet out immediately. I said, like, that means anybody
can get it. Yep. Anybody can get it. It don't
matter. Everybody has gotten it.
If you're a guest star, that's it. It's a wrap.
Y'all seen the new trailer, Game of Thrones?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Watch for Varys. Yeah. Talking to Tyrion,
yeah,
where they're talking back and forth.
Nice,
yeah, it's good. It's, I mean, like, I read the book, so I'm just kind of mad.
Varys gets the good speeches.
Varys is
anyway.
He's one of the best characters.
A very small man sometimes casts a very large shadow.
When he tells Tyrion, when he talks about patience and he waited to kill the dude to cut off his manhood. And they show that motherfucker in a box.
With his mouth. Didn't he have his mouth sewed up?
Yeah, he's like,
in a box.
Killing this dude slow.
Characters like that, not just in Game of Thrones, but in other stuff, like characters that are always like two steps ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
That's why I love House of Cards with Kevin Spacey because he's like, the way
plays. You're a House of Cards. I just never started watching it.
It's good.
I mean, it's on Netflix. Maybe I'll jump in.
It's a classic case of the guy who's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers kind of thing. It's good for that. It's good. And then also I think the acting is good, you know, all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Spacey's good.
Spacey's
is
always good. Yeah. And then Robin Wright.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, she's so great. I'm like, she's just very stoic and says things monotone. Like, I guess that's great. I mean, she looks great.
They all cheating on each other.
She's really great.
It's like politicians marry women so they can sleep with people.
Well, that's kind of the problem. Like, he gets away with everything.
Every goddamn thing.
With the third season, is it the last? It's not the last one, is it?
I don't know. That they haven't said.
Yeah, you got to wonder, like, what? Because
he's going to get his at some point.
Yeah, something's going to catch up with him. It has to.
But characters like that, does it? Like, real people like that, they
in real life,
cross.
No.
Yeah. You ever see Match Point?
Yeah.
I love the ending of that movie. You're I thought it was incredible.
That's how it's supposed to go.
In real life, no.
Game, set, match.
They get away with it a lot.
It's like, oh, shit. Like Friday Night Lights. They lost the game.
Yeah. Well, because they lost in real life. Like, yeah. But it's like.
Fuck. I thought they would. No.
No,
I can't watch Friday Night Lights, the TV show. I get too emotional. It's too much for me.
Shit. And that's what I love about foreign film. Foreign film, they stay a little bit closer to reality. Like it's just open ended. If it ends, it ends. And there's no antagonist. If the antagonist wins, that's it.
Did you see Kingdom of Men? With Clive Owen.
Where the
woman was getting pregnant.
He went around in flip flops.
Children of men.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of Kingdom of Heaven.
Yeah.
And they had that long tracking shot.
Yeah. It's a 20-minute.
Yeah.
So they shot it in one take. 20 minutes.
The blood got on the lens.
Yeah.
And it was on it for the rest of the shot.
Yeah.
They shot it in 20 minutes. That's when people talked about the shot in True Detective.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's a great shot, but you know they did this in Children of Men. They did a 20-minute shot.
Well, they've done it in a few movies.
It's a long battle scene.
Did you guys watch It's Always Sunny last week? I guess last week now.
I haven't watched
Thursday.
It in years.
There was an episode last week. It's called Charlie Work, where Charlie has to prepare the bar for a health inspection, but the gang has their own little scheme going on, getting in the way of everything.
I love this
show. It's him just like manipulating everybody and trying to get everything set up properly. and it's all like the last half of the episode is all one shot.
Just one track shot. Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice.
So, well, they disguise cuts because they go from inside the bar to outside, and it's not the same location.
Yeah.
But it's meant to look. It's like Birdman. Meant to look like one shot.
Yeah.
And it was probably the best episode they've ever done. I thought it was unbelievable.
That's a great show. I think it's the best comedy on TV right now.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. They've been killing it for 10 years, and they're
easy,
still
easy.
They're like it's like live action South Park. Yeah, they're still hitting their stride.
I met Mac.
Nice.
Well, I didn't recognize him because he was going through Fat Mac. So I'm walking past improv. These improv, I'm walking, and this is like during the day, like 4 o'clock. I look, you know, you see somebody recognize. I'm like, look at him. I'm like, I just walked up and like, do I know you? And he's like, nah, I don't think so. And I'm like, and he's talking. I was like, it's always sunny. And he's like, I was like, what the hell? And he goes into the whole spiel about, well, we're going to do this thing where I get fat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is going to be hilarious.
Well, it's such an amazing idea. Apparently the original idea was he went to the whole cast. He's like, hey, how about we all just get fat for next
everybody
season?
To get fat.
And they were like, no, are you fucking kidding me? He's like, well, I'm going to do it.
Right. Everybody else got, because you're talking about friends, or how everybody else got like bulked up and Joey got bulked up. And he was like, I just think it'll be funny. I was like, dude, you look hilarious. So already it's going to be the shit.
Trying to put on mass.
Fat Matt.
Yeah, what was the storyline of why he got fat?
Because he was taking, I don't remember, it was a couple years ago, but something to do with some kind of supplement he was taking, trying to get bigger.
Yeah.
And so Mac
but you got to work out. He didn't realize.
Yeah.
Well, he never does work out, but he always talks about it.
Yeah, Mac is obsessed with like mass and manliness because he's like gay and he's covering up.
And
that's
he does
like
the martial arts, but he never takes martial arts.
He just moves his hands around and goes like.
Like he wears a duster and shit. Like he's this tough guy, but he's not really a tough guy.
That show is so well done. Over the years, because he's the
bouncer, right?
Yeah, they painted out all of those, all the characters, filled out so well.
Sweet D.
So
he's really married to Sweet D.
He is. Yeah, they have a kid together. When she got pregnant, that was Max's kid.
That is hilarious.
That therapy episode they did last season, or 2 seasons ago, where they all go to therapy. Oh. That's when they really like. That was such an unbelievably written episode. They broke everything down. A bunch of stand-ups, and they all know
each other and they're
writers.
That's kind of cool, man.
And they're doing a show with Bill Burr now.
Really?
Yeah, so the show that Burr's
doing. He's got a new show that
he's got two of them.
Yeah, he's got shows coming up.
But the live action show is called Pariah. I don't know if they're starring in it.
His acting is really good, by the way.
Oh, he's the man.
I was thinking about that watching his special. I was like, man, his acting is.
Yeah, because his act outs are flawless.
Yeah.
But it's called Pariah, and I don't think the Sunny people are in it, but they're just creating it and helping him write it.
It's on BFX?
Yeah. But it's like he plays a newscaster or a sportscaster or something.
Sportscaster works.
But he says something really fucked up on the air and gets fired. So he has to like learn how to be an actual person and survive outside of the entertainment industry. And he's going to be the guy. It's going to be unreal.
I'm in.
And then he's got that Netflix cartoon coming out too.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh,
Netflix has also got the. I saw the trailer for Daredevil.
Yeah.
That Luke Cage is doing. Defenders.
Asking for forgiveness? I'm not asking for forgiveness.
I'm telling you what I'm about to do.
You can't even bring up the Daredevil show around Lafayette. He's just like, oh man, I can't. I my expectations.
All these
too
fucking
much.
Comic book people, man. What? I didn't know.
Was that many for among you?
Well,
that's because we hide in plain sight.
Not even that. Like,
not deep in the game.
When I was growing up, like a couple people read X-Men. And that was the extent. That was the extent of it. And now it's like there are dudes who want two things. One is not just sort of enjoying comic books, but deep into it.
Yeah.
And
then I never felt like a loser for not reading comic books until I started doing comedy in New York.
Mm, and people know all these little details. Yeah. And then also the other thing is the
you don't hang around no grown-ups.
The filleting of professional wrestling. Just fucking grow up, people. People still, my God, this is the best Royal Rumble since 94.
Yeah, I see that a lot. Really, Mike Lawrence?
Yeah.
You're like, come on. Like,
really? What
so
is
I don't
why?
Even, I
why?
Don't even understand that. But all the comic book shit, so many people come out of the woodwork and they're knowledgeable.
Because they like action figures. That's what I watch.
No, because it's you know, their moment in the sun like to be cool. It's like cool for comic books now, so let them have their thing.
It is a little bit of oversaturation. Just a little bit.
But here's the thing. Well, I mean, like, all the
like Chris Hardwick. I love him, but it's just a little like this time. It's like, I don't remember he's on TV and he did. I just remember what he did. And I was like, he was a cool guy.
Like that dude.
It was like him
Simpsons.
And John Cincio were cool guys. Yeah.
He was on Singled Out.
Yeah, and it's like all of a sudden.
He was helping people get butt in the 90s.
I'm hanging out with my boy Dan Cortez.
This is what I've been hiding.
What happened to Dan Cortez?
From Pittsburgh, Swinkley, went to school with his cousin.
What happened to Dan Cortez?
He had a TV show at one point.
Who was a Latin chick that fell off? Daisy Fuentes.
Daisy Fuentes.
What are they going to do after MTV? What's
the original Sophia
Fuentes did a commercial.
I think she probably like met some dude.
She does product. No, she does like.
What happened to Duff?
Duff.
Didn't Duff have a disease?
No, Duff is on Access Hollywood now.
Is she?
With Billy Bush. She's on Access Hollywood.
No, that's Kit.
That's Kit.
Kit Hoover.
You're right. It is Kit Hoover. That is not
from the original Road Rule.
Right. And Allison is on CBS.
With her big head. Kid got that
no,
big
Duff
head.
From MTV.
Yeah, where is Duff?
She got sick or something. Karen Duffy.
She the one with Lyme disease?
I don't know. Is it Lyme disease? I don't know. If
that girl
Lyme
was on a road. Was on a real,
real world.
World.
And someone,
no, Duff was an announcer.
Yeah, she was cute too. Yeah, she was cute.
Yeah.
Her, she had like short hair, right?
Yeah,
like hair.
She was cute. She had a pretty face.
Her and like Serena Alcho, remember her from Channel
1? Yeah. The rich girl. She's a rich girl. Yeah.
Tabitha Soren. Tabitha Soren. MTV News.
Rich girls.
Most of them move over to own the CBS.
Rich girls slumming.
And then like Kurt Loder is like writing. Like he's
well, he
like
was writing.
He was writing before.
Yeah, he was like writing for Rolling Stone, wasn't he?
He was
huge.
Writing.
Like he does his own movie. Like he's does his thing.
Yeah.
He is still just as scathing and angry as he was. Yeah,
Karen Duffy was an MTV VJ in the early 90s known as Duff. Since then, she has had small roles in a handful of movies, including Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
and by 1995, she was working as a correspondent for documentary filmmaker Michael Moore on TV Nation and The Awful Truth. In 2006, she hosted House of Tiny Terrors on TLC.
Oh, okay.
She was also in Falcon Rising.
On July 7th.
Responsible for one of the Bings. We got to look. We got to hire her or we lose a Bing. What do you want to do? Let's hire her.
Here's the personal life section from Wikipedia. Duffy was leading a relatively carefree youth in the heyday of her modeling career when in 1995 she was diagnosed with the relatively rare disease sarcoidosis.
Mm.
In her case, this affected her brain, leaving her partially paralyzed.
Jesus.
She has so far battled it with a sense of humor, as is evident from her 2000 autobiography, Model Patient, My Life is an Incurable Wise Ass.
Is she doing that thing where she talks out of the side of her mouth?
I don't know. I mean, she's been on TV since then, I guess. Maybe it hasn't affected her that much, but it's a brave battle she's fighting.
It's brave.
It's a brave battle.
It's brave.
After diagnosis, she continued to model for Revlon.
Model pace.
Et cetera, et cetera.
She didn't stop her from being fine. Right. She's still fine.
That's like every memoir by an entertainment. It's like punny title and then some kind of weird subtitle beyond that.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the cherries. Life is the pits.
My life as a my life in the cherry picking fields of San Francisco.
AIDS Spades. She was a voice on Fantastic Mr. Fox most recently.
One boy's journey from HIV positive to mentally
Clooney
positive.
Movie. That was the Clooney flick.
Came in late with that.
That was good, though. It was good. We got it.
Took me a second to think of it.
Bing!
Bing. We got the budget. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's continued to work, Karen Duffy. There's no picture here.
Oh, she might not look the same.
She's 52 years old
Is
at
she?
This point. Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
She's older than me?
Damn.
She was born in 62.
Duff.
Damn.
Remember when Tabitha Soren left to do Real News on
ABC? I remember on MTV when they were doing, she was covering an Aerosmith concert. And she was like, she was standing right by the stage or something. And the show was going on and Steven Tyler is singing. And she's like, yeah, we're here with Aerosmith. And Steven Tyler just walks over and grabs her and kisses her like a soul kiss.
Yeah.
And then just walked back on stage and started singing again. And she was like, all right, well, back to you.
Well, that was a bit inappropriate. Back to you.
That's what they need to make a movie.
If that was to happen now, Steven Tyler sexually assaulted.
Well, Joe Namath did it.
Yeah.
I want to kiss
He
you.
Just said it. Yeah.
No, he just talked about it. He wouldn't be it. Plus, Joe Namath was like somebody's uncle. He wasn't Steven. If you're Steven Tyler, you can probably get away
with that.
That's when at that point she was like, I want to do real news.
And that was at the height of Crazy. That's when that album would come out.
Yeah.
When they were doing Crazy and Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. She
yeah, they were killing
videos.
At that point. Yeah.
Did you see Alicia Silverstone dance in that movie, the black Beauty Shop. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Not Barbershop, but Beauty Shop.
Oh, it's like the female Barbershop?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? When they were in Atlanta.
And that's how you know what Ghostbusters is going to look like.
It was Queen Latifah, Sherry Shepherd, pregnant.
Yeah. What's the?
Was Alicia Silverstone the evil white girl that wanted to buy it and turn it into a cupcake show?
The good white girl. Right. Mina
Savari was the evil white girl.
All right.
Yeah,
and Kevin Bacon's in it doing a weird Russian accent. He owned another.
That's why he gets 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
And then
Alfred Sherry Shepherd, who was in Beauty Shop.
And then there was a speech in this movie, right? I'm watching it with, you know Miko.
Yeah, Facebook.
So I'm watching it with Miko and Tracy, my wife Tracy, right? And Alfred Woodard gives this speech in the movie, one of those empowerment speeches, and it was like, turn this shit off. And she gives this speech. They literally say, just turn this shit off.
There's a guy that works at the barbershop or at the beauty shop, and they all think he's gay. He's never said he's gay. Right. They just assume he's gay, and then Alicia Silverstone gets him
because
she starts dancing all ghetto-fied.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
How was it?
It's a horrible movie.
No, but how is the ghettified Alicia
Clueless.
Silverstone dance?
She does the same dance like she does in Clueless, only with cornrows.
Yeah.
She has cornrows?
She has cornrows. She was like a white chick from Georgia. She talks to the Georgia accent. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She just happened to be down. She wasn't the one trying to be down. That was the other chick. She was just cool when it happened to be down.
Oh, I got you. Right? Okay.
So she could do her and be in there and tired of talking and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
So she just happened to be hip. And then it was like,
she wasn't corny.
And then she started moving or whatever. It was like, we're watching. Of course, the crowd in the movie is like,
yeah.
We're like, what the?
Man, that's like.
Show me the Clueless.
Yeah.
She was rolling with the homie.
Remember that?
That was Brittany Murphy.
That was so.
I feel like that's a lot of like white people's fantasies is to be that accepting. To be that, like, where you really have like the pass. But
is that your fantasy, Andy?
That's true.
I think I've already been accepted.
You're in, Andy.
I've rolled with many homies.
You in. You like John Mayer, yo.
I'm telling you, to me, this is going to solve race relation problems, all right? Have you seen that video with John Mayer and Kanye West where they're recording a song in the studio?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. So, like, it's they're being interviewed for some MTV thing, and John Mayer, someone asks Kanye, like, why do black people love John Mayer? And he goes, hey, let me take this one for a second. You know, someone in my position, when they're around Kanye West, I don't think Kanye would appreciate it if I, like, you know, push my tongue out a little harder when I talk. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's hot, man. That's killing. That's hot. I would like to have a little bit of credit for being the guy who still says, well, the folks are really going to love that around a bunch of black people. It's like, that's it. That's what you have to do. Don't try and be down.
Just
don't
be
try.
Yourself.
Yeah, just be
yourself.
A regular guy.
Look at him.
And you'll
yourself.
Be fine.
Yeah. He's cool. He's cool.
It's not like black people are only going to like you if you talk like them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You just.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Is this your John Tesh CD?
Put on your black CD.
Yeah, that is my John Tesh CD.
Man, see, I get to watch fucking House TLC around you. I don't do that around.
I mean, like, dude, we could end so many awkward white guy, black guy handshakes. We could end so many problems with.
I tell all white guys, just follow the black guy's lead on the handshake.
Yeah,
pretty much. Sure. That's all the handshake is that you get it from
the black
older person.
Guy lead.
You just give him your hand for like 3 seconds and he'll give it back.
You get it from your uncle. That's where they all come from. Yeah. It's the cool uncle who comes in and is like, what up, nephew? And he gives you dap and you just follow along. That's all it comes to. And then it's just like, if I don't know this guy, I'm going to follow. Through sports.
That's all you gotta do. We got a couple of emails.
We do have.
Let's start with Howie.
Everyone's saying it. Let me pull up Howard's email from last week. Howard emailed us about episode 439, which was last Monday. Afternoon, fellas. It's your boy. It's your boy.
It's your boy.
Anyway,
like that. John Mayer wouldn't push his tongue out.
No, no. He'd be like, hey, how's it going? It's John. Nice to see you.
Howard says, anyway, about the the player who kept letting himself get caught testing positive on drug tests. That's Josh Gordon. Yeah, he's an idiot, but I doubt that a, quote, strong woman is the key to it all. We talked about whether he needed a strong woman. He'll probably just ignore her and keep it rolling.
Stop right there. That's not so much the key to it all, but see, you're young. You don't understand about being married. Trust me. It makes a huge difference in your life.
Mark Maron had a great bit about that.
There are a lot of things that I don't do because I know I don't want to have to explain it to my wife.
Did you ever hear Mark Maron's bit about about Muslim terrorists? They're not allowed to be around women or marry them. It's like, that's, you need a woman in your life
to hold
like
you
holding
down.
You down from all the ideas that you have.
It makes a difference.
True that.
He'll probably just ignore her and keep it rolling. I know because me and him are roughly the same age, and strong women at our age are just loudmouth queens.
That's because you're young right now. It's different when you. It's different, man. When you're with a grown up woman and you're a grown up man. Yeah. Also, by the way,
well, he can't get a grown up woman.
Also, by the way, men do that. Grown up men do that for grown up women. They just go on with your bullshit, girl. They do the same thing. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do in a grown up relationship. Right. That's why you marry the motherfucker.
You know that's a fault you have.
Because they make you better. And they're not so much trying to stop you from being like that. They're just trying to make sure that this shit doesn't affect everything else in our fucking lives.
Make you aware. Oh, I do that sometimes.
Stop smoking that. When Kanye jumped up on that stage and he was with Amber Rose, when he jumped up on the stage and took the shit from Taylor Swift, a real woman would have said, as soon as he jumped up, where are you going?
No, nigga. No.
Wait, I'm finna go up on the stage. Sit your ass down.
Yeah, no, he was on Ellen a couple weeks ago and talking about how, like, yeah, like, you know, now I just kind of do what Kim wants.
Like, you might be right.
And she's barely, like, they're both that. First of all, I think they're going to be married forever. They're the perfect couple.
That's what people
keep
don't understand.
They're the perfect couple.
Nothing between them but space and opportunity.
They're the perfect couple.
Talk about
you got anything else in there?
Howard also says, this next paragraph is directed at Randolph. You also mentioned Steve Harvey at one point. Sorry, Randolph, but I'm going to have to kindly say that Steve Harvey is at best mildly annoying, but at worst is giving out POS dating advice that has kept many black women, including my mom, single or dealing with shitty dudes. Seriously, when I realized that most of the black women I knew or who raised me listened to his bullshit, I swore vendetta against that fuckboy.
Here's the thing.
Hold on. Because of him, now I got to look at my mom and cousin set up vicinity traps to get a man. Please, Randolph, explain why any of his dating advice makes sense.
What traps?
Here's the thing.
Vicinity traps.
They're not listening to him.
Right.
He says
the
same shit I say.
Right.
You've listened to him.
Yeah, oh,
shit
yeah.
About
oh, yeah. Yeah.
He says what grown up men say. A lot of the shit.
No game.
Particularly the shit about I heard him just the other day. He was talking to some girl. My mother in law was watching the show. He was talking to some she's fucking
that
Steve
is hilarious.
And he was telling this girl was like, I go out with my male friends. I have male friends, but I haven't been on a date. But we go out to have fun. So he was like, do you play video games?
Right.
Yeah. No. You don't play video games. You like this? You like that? Any male? No. You like sports? No.
What are you doing?
Why would you think he was out with you?
Right.
You think he's out with you just for friends? He says the same shit I would say.
Right. Right.
It's not his fault that your mother is not listening to the shit he's saying. Or, and this is the big thing. And women do this a lot. I've seen this a lot before. You take the shit somebody says and you reinterpret it
yes.
into something else.
What he's saying is... Yes.
And you say, well, I think what he's really saying is... That's not what he's saying.
Yes.
Oh, so he's saying...
But what he's saying is get your shit together
saying
and
exactly what
become presentable.
What is a vicinity
as a human
trap?
Being.
Like people say, like his book, he's like, well, he hasn't been married. He's been married like multiple times. How dare he tell women what he says all the time? I don't know anything
right.
about women.
Right.
I know about men.
Yep.
I'm telling you what men think.
Yep.
I'm not telling you what women think.
Yep.
He says it all the time.
Yep.
I'm not telling you what women think.
All the time.
I'm telling you what men think. Yep. That's why when women tell me that horse shit about, well, we're just friends. I'm like, really? This guy's your friend?
Nope.
What dude is doing that?
Nope.
What guy do you know in your right mind does that?
A progressive young man.
Exactly.
Who doesn't see
who's trying to use that angle to get some ass.
All my female friends look like little boys. I come sit you down. To me.
And what's that? What's that Chris Rock joke where it's like some girl that we were just trying to fuck and then we made a wrong turn?
You're in a friend. The only reason you're in a friend zone is because she don't want to fuck you.
The emergency dick in the glass.
That's the only reason.
I'm so glad you're here.
And you are gonna just hang out and wait to fuck.
Nope.
That's my thing with Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey doesn't. There's nothing wrong with what he said. He's just honest about it.
That's what people don't take the honesty. And it's real honesty, stuff you've heard before and that you know is true.
Yeah, you just don't you go know. Along with it.
Like he says to dudes, look, listen. You living in her house and you going to the studio
yeah.
on her dime.
On her
and
dime.
Then you expect to come home and have her treat you right?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You got to do, that's the case you're doing. You living in her house, you go on her dime.
Yeah.
You gotta act extra above and beyond.
Right. There's no. There's no
cut these
when I was just
up.
In the studio, you better be bringing food home from the studio.
No.
Or be bringing it home from the studio.
You gotta. Everybody gotta pay. Game.
All he says is it's the same shit that real people understand. Well, like, I shouldn't say real. I do that. Adult people understand.
I say grown up.
Yeah, adult. I say real because like, you're paying bills. Adult people understand. You on this boat, you working. It's just that simple. We all on this cruise ship. Ain't nobody just sitting there back and enjoying
it. This is no one's vacation right now.
Right. We're trying to get to Plymouth Rock. We going somewhere. Everybody has a job to do, even if it's just to keep the kids away from the adults at some point.
You know what's interesting about how he's saying that is that it's usually women who don't like Steve Harvey. Men have no problems with Steve Harvey.
I think young men.
Because he exposes a lot of shit.
I think there's a generation gap. I think a lot of young people are tired of Steve Harvey.
I know a lot of people who don't. Yeah,
and it's like, fuck that dude. And I think that's a lot of it just is comes out of that.
You know who also hates Steve Harvey, I'm sure?
Who's that?
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, he is the new Dr. Phil.
He's not even Dr. Harvey.
Friendly. He is the new Dr. Phil.
Actually very friendly.
Howard also says, also about the Super Bowl, I watched half of it after work after cleaning up behind a production of the play Pippin. Wow. And he just says, Jesus, fuck
was
Seattle.
Was it about Scottie Pippin?
Actually, Ben Vereen was in Pippin years ago. On Broadway. We got another one?
We got a quick one from Evan Valentine. Hey, fellas, on the episode with Elton, heard you guys were talking about Master P and all the things he's linked to. Did you know that one of those things included a family-friendly kids movie with him in the lead role called Uncle P?
Yep.
Yes.
Same.
He sent us a YouTube link.
Not bad.
I did not know that.
It's bad.
It's not bad.
You liked it.
Oh. I like.
It's no I Got the Hookup. But
oh, no.
That is of all his hood. Okay.
He's had a lot of.
We have to put movies in categories.
Trailer. Here's a trailer for
Master
Uncle P.
Master P makes hood movies.
Yeah. Here's a trailer for Uncle P.
So, on a $10,000 budget.
We need sound up on it?
Are we not getting any sound?
No, what's wrong?
There's no sound on it? Something's wrong with YouTube or something.
No, that's how bad the trailer is. You don't need to hear the word.
Got his son in it.
You don't want to hear
yeah,
this
yeah,
shit.
Romeo was in it. Yeah. Romeo
is it
was
muted
in it.
On the thing?
No, it should be up. Maybe it's maybe my tablet needs to be rebooted or something.
Let me see something. What's it called?
It's called Uncle P.
He made it because he made Foolish with Eddie Griffin. He made I Got the Hookup, which is I Got the Hookup. Hallelujah, you hear me? Which is one of the best hood love songs of all time. Was Stacey Dash in that movie? Who's the girl?
Wow, the trailer's only 30 seconds.
Oh, Jesus.
Uncle I met P. Master P once at the Foot Locker at the shops. Over
of course
there.
You did.
It was awesome. This little old white lady comes up to him. Is right, like, everybody's coming up to you. Like, are you like an athlete or something? And he just starts laughing. He was like, nah. She's like, can I take a picture of you? Because my grandson would
Michael
probably
Collier's
take
in it.
It?
Rolling on DVD. What have you discovered? Your long-lost uncle was a hip-hop legend.
You guys act like you've never seen a limo before.
We haven't.
Master P, Romeo, in the family comedy that's nothing but net.
That's what I'm talking about. Woo!
Yeah!
Red!
Make me say,
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I can't stand that guy, man.
Dr. Ken Jeong.
He's awful. He's the same guy in every movie, and he's not funny.
So the DVD for that included Romeo's I'm So Fly video.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah, which was really, that's the reason I would
say. So he plays himself in this movie?
Yeah. That's all he ever played.
Yeah,
it's Uncle P's supermarket scene.
Oh, I had a candy bar in here.
It's 6'6".
Yeah. Man's candy bar. This just don't make no sense.
Excuse me, sir. You drop something?
Master P just gave
that
guy money.
Mine, bro.
It got to be yours. It's not mine. It was sitting right there.
Just gave him a grip of money. Gave a broke one.
Black Jesus.
A homeless
man.
Black Jesus?
Yes, it did. Black Jesus.
Buy me some food, and I'm going to get me some clothes, and I'm going to find me a job.
He got his tax return.
I'm going to find me a job.
So Master P is the magical Negro.
Yes.
I'm not too good of a driver.
Now he's talking to a girl at the grocery store. He's hitting on her. He's following her.
Now that's a cute woman. I wonder if she's married.
Watch it, sucker. Wait, I have to get my sister's birthday card for tomorrow.
That's his daughter.
Well, actually, Uncle P,
that's his sassy
it's very
niece.
Problematic the that way you talk to
Mario.
Mario?
Ooh, look, silly bunny. I love them.
Wow, that little girl cannot.
You love them more than you love your Uncle P?
Let me think about that.
She acts like she has down.
Ooh, hold up, shorty, you're a reckless driver. Watch it.
Zebra cakes. Everything Jesus. They got in store bought.
You think you got enough groceries for us?
So it happens when Uncle P comes around, right. Man. Actually, brand name shit.
Those ain't Florios. They Oreos.
Oreos.
Hold up, shorty.
We ain't getting the Hydrox today.
Hydrox.
Isn't that Lonnie Love?
No. That's one of his fans now accosting him.
Is that Lonnie Love?
Is this whole movie just like Master P going out being famous and being good to people? So people are like, he's so cool.
It's an hour and a half commercial for Master P.
It's basically. The Black Uncle Buck.
I'm so sorry. He's just such a my favorite entertainer.
I prefer business, man.
I was gone for 30 seconds and you already hooked up with another chick.
Okay, I can't
wait. Wah, wah.
Waka, waka, waka.
She had the hands on the hips.
That
and then
little girl's acting is full. Jesus
rolling
Christ.
Her head around to showcase her sassiness.
Flawless acting,
that was
flawless.
The best take, too. Like there right. were there were the other takes take. That were right. awful yeah. compared to that one.
That's as good as we're going to get.
Right? That girl's probably mad she seconds. Didn't get the Black Annie role.
Shit, my mama's mad. That role, that's a role for you, little sunshine.
Little magic.
We got one more email.
Who the fuck is Quaventin A. Wallace?
That's a role for you, little sunshine.
We got one more email, little and then we got also someone sent us a song, which we'll get to maybe. It's by Stitches, yeah. our favorite rapper, Stitches.
Stitches, leave them in them.
Stitches loves to sell blow. The song is called Kilos in My Bag. okay, so this
what
kilos of what
cocoa butter?
What could it possibly be?
This email comes from Doug. I've been meaning to chime in for a while, so this will span many episodes. Loved Randolph's Hater Nation stint.
Thank you.
That one dude was like, I have law enforcement in my family, but I distrust the government. But when you said your classic statement, he lost his mind. Thank you. I laughed my ass off. Shout out to Andy, the voice of reason, especially when your British guest comic, Chris Milner, voluntarily started talking about Reverend Al Sharpton. Without video, I knew Randolph's silence. He had at least one forehead vein throbbing. We're cool with Chris. It was a good
cool
conversation. It wasn't like an angry conversation. Whenever Iggy Azalea,
I did have a vein throbbing. like I didn't.
Whenever Iggy Azalea comes up, all I hear is Andy's "Do that? Why you do that?" in my head. Also, that after that drunk guy episode, I found myself locking my SUV door immediately after getting in. That's a good move. I do that too. You guys didn't hear that story, but I got in my car one day and a drunk guy just got in the passenger seat.
Damn!
After a show he did. With Martin Amini.
With Martin and Ahmed, we went to a club. I went to my yearly club tour.
Oh, you went out afterwards?
Yeah. And then, so we valeted the car. I drove, and then when I went and got the car, like the valet guy, he unlocked all the doors.
Yeah.
I got in and like put on my seatbelt, and like a couple seconds later, this guy just gets in my car. Drunk guy who was outside of the club because they were closed, and he would not leave my car.
Stop.
He didn't understand the concept of leaving my car.
Did he get in the back or the front?
He was in the front.
Oh, he thought you was his buddy.
He was like,
did he think you were Uber or his friend?
He kept trying to shake my hand and like talk to me. It was bizarre.
Damn, man.
But now I got to check every time if I get my car back, even from like if I take it to Jiffy Lube or whatever. Yeah. They probably unlock the
door. That's dangerous, man.
Doug says, hold on, trying to raise a daughter. Doug says, I have what I hope is a minor problem with one of your fellow comedians.
Uh-oh.
Kevin Pollak had someone from the movie-making side of Gravity.
That's a weird person.
Kevin Pollak has a podcast. He had someone on from the movie-making side of Gravity, and he mentioned someone questioning the science behind it. Sam Levine clarified that it was Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Mm. And Kevin said, "Oh, that fucking idiot." As a child sits down at our table. I said that right. She sat down immediately as I said, "That fucking idiot."
Gravity.
Yeah. Kevin Pollack said, "Oh, that fucking idiot." I took it as him pandering to the person sitting across from him, but then he recently interviewed Anthony Cumia. I didn't listen to it. Any thoughts? Well, all right. You guys remember the gravity thing? Neil deGrasse Tyson posted a lot of Twitter stuff about the science behind it being not exactly accurate.
Right.
Mainly that the space stations were in different orbits. You couldn't just like go across to one.
Right.
They were different basic altitudes or distances. A couple other things. And then at the end of it, though, Neil deGrasse Tyson said, "But I like the movie." Like, he was kind of trolling a little bit. Yeah. He was kind of doing a lot of... He was doing some trolling.
No, here's why fuck Neil deGrasse Tyson. Because his whole attitude is just, like, pushing up his glasses. Like, thing...
Actually. Well, and the thing is, a lot of, like, people... Like, of course, because the blog culture is like, Neil deGrasse Tyson hammers gravity. But he actually says he liked it.
Yeah.
But to people on the entertainment side, which Kevin Pollak is at this point, an actor more than a comedian.
Yeah.
On the entertainment side of things, they're just like, they always sort of explain away, like, hey, we're just trying to, like, set things up for dramatic effect and movie. So, well, I don't think he thinks Neil deGrasse Tyson is literally an idiot. But I think
that's probably why he said it. Oh, that fucking
from the
idiot.
Movie perspective. From the movie perspective, oh, that idiot. Like, he was pandering a little bit, but I think he probably was just like, movie makers get licensed to change things. Like,
they change it all the time.
Kevin Pollak was in A Few Good Men.
Yep.
There's no such thing as a code red. That was made up for the movie.
Really?
Yeah, that came out at the time when the movie came out. It was like, is that
deGrasse Tyson?
We don't know that there's a code red because there's not supposed to be a such thing as a code red.
But either way, like, that was a construct for the movie. Right. But if you went to Kevin Pollak, actually, Kevin, there's not such a thing as a code red. He'd be like, "Oh, you idiot! It's just for the movie."
The way Neil deGrasse Tyson feels about science is the way I feel about martial arts movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when I'm
right. And it comes out that way though too. Because that's what the cosmos is all about. Like, let's give you what really would have happened. The real juxtaposition.
And then
I dig that.
As far as Kevin Pollak interviewing Anthony Cumia, like, personally, I wouldn't have him on my podcast.
Help me out. Who's Anthony Cumia?
Opie and Anthony guy. Had a racially charged.
Now you know.
Notorious racist.
I'm asking for people who don't know who Anthony Cumia.
You know, there's a lot of clips on YouTube that I think a lot of comics listen to of Opie and Anthony having other comics on, particularly Patrice O'Neill. I can recognize Anthony Cumia was good in that environment. Like, he has some talent for broadcasting and communicating.
But I
wouldn't
have
him on my podcast. At this point, I wouldn't bring him on my show. I'd be like, well, I don't care to help him promote his podcast. So, yeah, I don't know what... Maybe Kevin Pollak is still a fan at this point. I don't know.
I have an anti-racist thing myself, Pete.
What? Yeah.
So was the...
Why are you looking at me, man?
Was the email asking Pete? If Pollak is a racist?
He was just kind of, I think...
Talking about deGrasse Tyson.
He's just wondering, because Kevin Pollak called Neil deGrasse Tyson an idiot, and then he has Anthony Cumia.
Then he co-signs Anthony Cumia.
Yeah, I don't know if he's calling him a racist. He's just kind of like, that's...
I've listened to his podcast enough to say one way or the other. I would need to listen to his podcast. Yeah. I'd need to listen to the conversation that he has with...
Like, did he say, what the fuck do you think it is, deGrasse Tyson?
But I'm not gonna listen to a conversation that he has with Anthony Cumia.
He had him on to confront him. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
But the whole thing about Neil deGrasse Tyson, I think, is just a guy in movies saying, oh, come on, stop calling us out for our...
Well, he's that guy, Carl Sagan used to do the same thing. He used to be like, well, this is what would have really happened if this, that, and the third. And then he wound up writing, like, short stories like that became Contact.
Well, and Neil deGrasse Tyson did the same thing with Interstellar, although he kind of defended the science in that movie.
Yeah. Or Greg Easterbrook, he does that a lot in his column. Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Just like, chill out. It's not...
But if
it's a TV show.
Yeah,
relax.
Yeah, like, that's us. We're going like, well, listen, we know there are no dragons.
It's just that's like I said, I feel the same way when I watch martial arts movies. I'm like, that's not real.
Yeah.
Or if I watch a boxing thing.
Because like, you can't become authentic. You can't get close to authentic.
Yeah.
You know, you can get close to authentic as you want. A movie like Red Belt, martial arts flick, we talked about on Monday's podcast. That is as close as to I've seen as real, authentic martial arts. Even as far as the understanding
fight,
behind it. You know?
What'd you think of the Raid movies?
That's real. That's real.
Okay.
That's super authentic.
All right.
Now the
they got those guys coming in for Star Wars.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Now they flowered it up for the movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, they made the fight scenes last much longer.
Yeah.
And stuff like
that. That fight in the kitchen was unbelievable.
But the techniques did.
The fucking dog. That dude.
So is Matt Damon. Matt. The stuff that Matt Damon did in Bourne.
Yeah.
That's like legitimate.
Yeah.
It's the same. style of martial arts, by the way, from the Raid movies that Matt Damon was doing. That's legitimate how a well-trained guy would act. Against, like, when think about the first Bourne movie when he knocks out the two cops.
Yeah.
That's literally exactly what a well-trained guy would do. That fast, that smooth, that clean. And people say, well, that couldn't happen. Yeah, because you don't know anybody who has this kind of training. And be thankful.
Yeah.
Be thankful.
Doug also, he also mentions, I didn't know about this, but it's probably good. Tinder comes up on the podcast a lot, so you should look at Tinder nightmares on Instagram. The first one I saw was the guy says, from one to USA, how blood free are you tonight? And the girl says, North Korea.
Ooh.
Tinder nightmares on Instagram. We got to check that out. And also, Doug says, also Common was on Larry Wilmore's new show, whose subject was black fathers. And of course, the phrase trying to raise a daughter was in my head throughout.
That's where we got it from.
Trying to raise my daughter.
You know, I'm trying to raise a daughter.
In particular, from like Water for Chocolate through B.
Yeah,
he said it a lot.
Common, he's daughter a lot. I'm on Tinder nightmares right now.
See, look, this is a good one.
Is it like
want to get high and do some butt stuff?
So this is like girls, I guess mostly girls posting.
I guess.
Do some butt stuff.
That's a prostate exam.
Some people get really hurt about this. Hey, how's your Monday going? JK, I didn't want a response. Like, relax, you fucking creep.
Well, I think some of it that people are putting on the show so they can screenshot it too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on. So that was the email from Doug. Thanks, Doug, for the email.
Thank you, Doug.
And,
appreciate it.
That's all the emails that we'll get to.
I like the Grassy Texas.
The Stitches song.
I like them too.
You guys want to get to the Stitches?
Yeah, let's do the Stitches song. We'll do the Texas song.
Jonathan sent this Stitches song with no text. He just said here.
Here, you want to hear this. All right.
Yeah, I got it. Hold on, let me pull it up. I got it. It's on YouTube. He sent us the World Star link. I'm not going to give them clicks. Let's see. Stitches, Kilos in My Bag. We had another song of his,
That Coco song is garbage.
Is it ever?
That song.
It's aggressive.
I'm in love with the Coco.
They play that at the gym a lot, and
really?
It's just like, what the?
It's a gym song. I can see working out to it.
Bacon soda.
I got bacon soda.
There's like 17 total words in the whole fucking song.
Name of the game.
Here we go.
This is Stitches. Lightworks is the production company. These are the opening credits now for
that is awesome.
That is awesome.
TMI gang.
Lightworks.
Here we go. Stitches.
That's a well shot video.
Trap music.
HD cameras, good ones are cheap now. $2,000. You can get a well shot video.
Trap music.
A lot of editing.
Stitches.
There he is. There's our star.
Is he part of like the Juggalo posse?
Our hero. No, he's not. He's all.
He wouldn't get any attention with all that shit on his face.
He's got a gun tattooed on his cheek.
Hold it.
And those are actual stitches he has? Or just
AK-47. Like, that's just a gun.
Tattoos.
Tattoo stitches. Like the Joker.
He's saying fuck the police in front of the police. Fuck the police. And he at the airport. Kilos in my bag. Kilos in my bag. How do you get that?
If you actually had kilos in your bag, you would not be playing this in your car as you were driving.
Well, my question is, how do you get the camera at the airport? Because they don't allow all of that shit at the airport anymore. Not right out there.
Well, you can make like you're taking a still picture and actually be taking video. Like a 5D or whatever on the point shoot. So a lot of that is like, oh, I'm just taking this picture. You can take a still picture.
Okay.
Do that. So they're slick about it.
Fuck the police. Fuck them. I'ma do what I want. Smoke weed on the plane if I want.
Take up
on the plane if I want. I get high off my
own supply.
I'm selling drugs to the day I die. I run the streets, I run the sky. My kilos up in the streets, my kilos up in the sky. The cartel. I'm connected with them.
How many songs did he write about coke? I mean, he's got to be running out of things to say about it.
Cocaine.
This next one's about going on a train with coke, and then I'll do one on a bus. A rickshaw. I got coke in my rickshaw bag.
I take a Uber.
This Uber driver doesn't know that we're delivering coke.
What? I got kilos.
That guy's terrifying looking.
First of all, it's a horrible song. Second,
it's trap
music.
He is
terrifying looking. You're not carrying no kilos in your bag if you look like that. You better hire you a little Mexican woman to put the kilos inside of her body.
Her body.
And walk that shit through.
Right, if you're a real G, you put them in titties.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, you know, carry that shit.
You don't know why she didn't tell? They found a brick and a skate, yo. Fuck them. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Don't try to set me up, because that case, I'm going to win it.
Dirty cops, man, I gotta kill him. It said you went from protecting and serving to a victim.
If, dirty cops, dirty cops.
If you're
cops,
copping
man,
to
I
having the coke in your bag, the cops aren't dirty. They haven't planted it on you. Like they
meeting,
found it.
He meeting Denzel.
Right. Yeah.
Training day police.
You want to go to jail or you want to go home?
You're an
with
easy mark.
These kilos in your bag. Never. I shoot you with my AK. Whatever. When you see me up in person, you gon' take a shit. Ain't no hesitation in my blood. I just let it rip. See me in person. I just let it rip. I just let it rip. Yep.
We get it, Stitches. I just let it rip. Yeah, all right.
I just let it rip.
I'm afraid to talk shit about this guy in a public forum. Like,
man, whatever. I watch Falcon Rise. And
I'm feeling strong right now.
This guy hasn't killed anyone. Ever.
No. Not with a face tattoo. Who did it? The nigga with his tattoo with the gun on his face. That's who did it.
He's got a face full of tattoos and no teardrops.
Not one. Fuck the police. I heard that.
I mean, he hasn't just written songs exclusively about cocaine. There are videos of him doing coke on stage at shows.
Nice.
Shows that are attended by people. That's people have purchased tickets to see Stitches.
That's what they call it, the trap.
Do his coke anthems.
He reminds me of, what's the kid's name from Kansas City?
Riff Raff?
No, Tech N9ne. Mm. But not as fast as Tech N9ne, but he just reminds me of that. In that vein.
That style?
Yeah.
Riff Raff's not even really an rapper anymore. Dumb shit. He's not really a rapper anymore, much as he just...
And there was a horror call.
He's getting into bodybuilding now.
Does things. Is he?
Yeah, there's a picture of him all fucking huge. I don't know if it was photoshopped. But it was like, Riff Raff is now a bodybuilder. And his tattoos are all stretched around his giant muscles.
Bring up the...
That's like Melly Mel is a fucking boxer. Bodybuilder.
Melly Mel is yoked up.
Right, his arm is huge.
92.
His arm looked like he used to sign.
Yeah. He's got that big commercial arm where the whole town arm wrestles. So my man,
kilos in my bag. Oh, trap music. That's what they call it, the trap.
Damon out of Texas sent me this one.
You can't get out.
Now, is this is not as bad as kilos in
my
bag.
No, it's just Texas music. Texas hip hop. He's using Texas hip hop.
There we go. Bounce.
Oh, Cliff.
A lot of people talking on top of each
other. That's my hood.
Oh, Cliff.
That's a bounce right
there. It's like the beginning of the Sweater song.
Oh, Cliff. Yeah. That's my hood.
Yeah.
Put it in his face. Get that shit understood.
Yeah.
This ain't what you want, boy. Tell me you'll get hood.
Yeah. What you want?
Oh, Cliff. Nigga, that's my hood.
Yeah. That's how you know. You know. All right. Get that shit. Hands up.
I really love the acapella into the beat. I thought it really set things off.
That's what you said on the sideline. We ready.
Yep.
We ready.
Yep.
This was uploaded in 2010.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we just heard that. We should know that already. That's the Spurs theme song right there.
Nah. Here's a comment from 1 week ago. Hey, yo, Plano, Texas, representing 972 all day, son.
Plano?
This is
Plano?
From a week ago, so apparently it's
people
still...
have pride for the strangest places. Plano, like, oh, you don't know about Plano, Texas?
Plano is rich white folks.
Don't disrespect Plano, Texas.
Plano's rich white folks. That's where the football players live.
Say word. That means they got some help out there. Somebody, mama boy, made good.
Karen Foster's from Plano.
Where your mama
went?
She went
to high school in Plano.
We're going to Plano.
Me and my wife were dating. She was living in Plano.
Where?
In Dallas. Yeah, that's when she moved from Austin to Dallas for.
So this is suburb of Dallas?
She lived outside of Dallas in Plano. Right by that little Galleria Mall.
Oh, I know the Galleria Mall. Yeah.
And where the Improv.
Yeah.
Improv?
We went there when I was in Wichita Falls.
Dallas Improv, yeah. That big Galleria. She lived right up the
hour ride to Dallas.
She lived right up the street from that Galleria. and Deep Ellum. I mean, this is not that bad. This is all right.
I'm into it.
I know. Pete ain't stop bouncing his head.
That's how you know Pete's a baller. Pete play that game. Every white dude plays sports.
Yeah.
Even if he don't like rap music, he like rap music.
You go hear rap music.
I fuck with, Victory and Bone and Biggie. Oh, yeah. Those are the pregame songs.
It's a pregame music.
On the Dangerous. Ain't too many kids. Right. Whole verse. No, the whole verse.
I sent you that thing about KRS-One.
Yeah, that was a good fucking good read, good
due
article.
The lack of respect for hip hop.
Yeah. Vlad TV.
I don't know if it's so much lack of respect for hip hop as much as it's lack of respect for
classic hip hop.
Nah, I don't even know if it was classic hip hop. Lyricists, maybe.
Black or arts.
People who are doing the art side of hip hop as opposed to the commercial. The how you do that right. side of hip hop.
Right. 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 It's a lot of love for commercial
stuff. African Mbada is the sole author of Hip Hop's Cultural Existence.
Yep, Zulu Nation.
I mean, he would know more about it than us.
Zulu Nation.
Well, he said there's a lot of stuff that African Mbada did behind the scenes to shape things.
That's what I said. He would know more about it than
us. Well, he would have those meetings. You know, like, you know, remember Mbada was a gangster. And then, like, once he got knowledge or started understanding and reading, he formed the Zulu Nation and did Planet Rock.
Isn't he a 5% or two?
Yeah, that's how it initially started. So that's you know, 5% of God's and Earth's. Charlie Murphy was one at one point.
The planet is a rock.
That's it. There it is. Yeah. This rock that we live on.
But we're rocking.
It's our planet.
Too,
it's our space. See? Spaceship Earth. You know, you see that on the side of peppermint soap bottles, Dr. Brana's. Spaceship Earth. So and I'm still bouncing from that song earlier. Yeah.
When you, just like still resonating in your head, keeping it going.
Yeah, when you understand Bambada named himself after a South African warlord, chief, who actually wrote a letter to the Queen of England saying, "You are my sister. You are, like, we are one. If you're a queen and as I am king, then you are my sister. You don't just come try to take this."
She was like, "Who is this?"
He didn't understand politics.
Who is this dirty savage claiming to be my brother? Who is this dirty savage?
But the Zulus were the ones. They were the ones who fought Britain to the teeth, nails and teeth. So he named the Zulu Nation, and then he brought the Browns, the Blacks, Browns being the Latinos, Hispanics, the Blacks, and the poor white disenfranchised youth, because that's what B Street was all about. B Street, more than breaking, actually represents the early days of the hip hop culture.
I always said, as far as movies, Beat Street is probably the best of the breaking movies.
Yeah, oh,
it beats breaking. It beats breaking
hands down.
Beat Street was
even the breakdancing is like when they
better.
They got the Rock Steady Crew, who is affiliated with the Zulu Nation. Better. Crazy Legs is ridiculous.
The only place you see better breaking is Flashdance. Yeah, one scene in Flashdance where that's funny, that's
because
the same
that
crew.
Scene, that dude is the dude. It's the
same crew. Yeah, the only place you see better breaking. Yep,
matter of fact, when she breaks dances, that's Crazy him. Legs in drag.
In drag.
Doing the fucking spinning top and stuff like that. So
you gonna do one move. We got the budget for this.
Bambada, like Hurt is the guy on. Who like brought it, and Bambada is literally the architect, the one who helped build the house. That KRS-One, like KRS-One wrote the book, and I've read it, The Temple of Hip Hop, but it gets into hip hop as being a culture, and that it spawned all of these, like rock and roll is a culture. We could say rock and roll spawned a culture, it spawned a culture of the 60s and the whole movement and get involved. Hip hop did the same thing, and it did the same thing, you know, to disenfranchise youth, not just here in America, across the globe.
Well, that's just what he's saying, is that the Swiss government respects him more than, why is he making money in Switzerland? Because the Swiss government respects him more, and they'll allow
They have a hip hop day.
It's not so much about respecting, it's allowing it to happen.
Yeah,
people in Ohio, you try to have a concert in Ohio, you're trying to shut that shit down.
Right.
Well, there's also not
an element.
Other than on satellite radio, there's no classic rap stations like there is with classic rock.
Yeah,
they are becoming. Old, they are starting.
They're starting, maybe it's overdue, but. Being old and being yesterday's news is frowned upon in hip hop. Right. It's all about new, young, younger, younger, younger. And so there isn't really a...
Well, where does that come from? Does that come from the labels trying to sell
it?
Does that
come from
hip-hop?
The government. It comes
does that
from radio.
Come from hip-hop? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Not the government. He's saying that he can go to Switzerland and make money because the government allows hip-hop to happen. Because the government here, let's be honest, you put on a hip-hop concert here, the police presence alone will be enough to drive people away.
But here's what they do over there in Switzerland. Like they recognize the fact that hip hop is a part of their culture as well. So like they had that they held the whole, like they do this thing in Switzerland where they denounce slavery. So they talk, they have a day for that. But the hip hop cats over there were like, well, you're not doing enough. So they just staged a protest at the show. The government didn't stall the protest or stopped it. They just allowed it to happen during their commencement or whatever it was. And then from that, they started incorporating it into the different things that they do. So they're aware of the youth more as here. Rock music, in my opinion, wasn't actually loved until it became classic rock. So the older guys just started going, well, wait a minute, we're still living, we're still here, and we're still going to see the Rolling Stones, we're still going to see the Grateful Dead. We're not doing some of the stuff that we did. We're not as counterculture. As a matter of fact, we became part of the system in order to change it. And the same thing is happening in hip-hop. We're becoming a part of the system in order to change
Once the old heads recognize us. Start programming the radio station.
Right.
Like if you listen to Backspin on satellite radio, it's all Ed Lover.
Right.
And so there's an element of that too. Like you have to get to be in charge.
Right. You have to join like the Grammys. Like when Jimmy Jam like became part of the, I think Terry, is it Jimmy Jam? I think he was the head of the Grammy Association for me at one point.
Yes.
But then he started reaching out to these different people like Puffy and Jay-Z going, well, they don't show a whole lot of awards on the show. Yeah, they don't show rap music, but they don't show a ton of awards on the show. So if we want to get best hip hop CD on the show, then you guys have to become part of this committee in order to change it from within. Because that's the only way true change actually happens.
I think so.
Is if you go you inside.
That's why I don't believe in this thing of we're going to have our own shit.
For what? Like, anybody watch?
You're not part of the nation then.
Right.
Your shit is your shit. Right. Money will get cut off to your shit.
There it is.
We'll just do our own thing.
There it is.
Really? Where are you going to get the money for this?
When you talk
thing?
About government like that, does the government. Do they fund hip hop things? I know DC, in the city which I live, they have stipends for the arts, and hip hop acts have gotten grants. So I don't see any problem there in DC. Do other places try to knock it down? Yeah, of course that happens. But that's because it's the movement of the youth. It's the music of the youth.
Well, he says here, real hip hop history is Afrika Bambaataa sitting everybody down and saying, listen, all this black, white, red, yellow is stupid. We're all human beings. Let's come together on that.
Yeah, that's what I got. You know what?
And then the next thing down here is a picture of Childish Gambino.
Well, that's a different article. It's not the same.
Yeah. Well, like, hip hop kept it going.
Well,
man.
I mean, that's the thing. It's almost like when curvy women say this is a real woman. Like, why do you get to decide? I mean, Childish Gambino is real.
By the way, did y'all see the about the big girl on
Sports Illustrated who's not a big girl?
Well, that's the thing is everybody's like...
She's not even thick, yo.
I think she's thick. She's thicker than anything they've thrown out there.
Yeah, that's true.
She's just not fat. That's what she's to
me. She's not fat at all.
I mean, she's thick, but she ain't thick enough.
Like, stuff isn't falling in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Thick. She ain't swole. Swole. I'm like a Takara.
Look, until you got some folds on that stomach, don't go talk to me.
We talked about that. You gotta have a little squatch
fat. Hold it.
But no matter what, you give her another 50 pounds. There's a woman who's 100 pounds heavier than that.
Yeah,
who's that? That's not me. And I don't
know what you say about her. She got a pretty face.
Yeah, she's cute. I think pretty face. Also,
she dresses nice.
Right.
Because then I saw all the comments on that Sports Illustrated thing. Was like, this does not represent the average woman. It's a fucking model.
She's still a model.
Look, model, the word model, if you walk into a model home and it looks like your house, there's clothes all over the floor and shit, it's dirty, you're like, this represents the average house. I'm not moving here. Model is an ideal, by definition.
That's a bit, right? That's hilarious.
I should.
That's funny, man.
By definition, hilarious. Model is an ideal. You go to the dealership, you get in the car. There's not a McDonald's cup rolling around in your car.
Right.
The model is not supposed to be the average.
It's an authentic experience.
You put on the brake. You suddenly brake and a Snapple bottle rolls out underneath the seat. Oh, this is the model.
This is the model that represents the average. Average car model is an ideal. That's why they call them models. And just the only models that aren't held to that standard are when models are people. Models of any other way are held to the standard of being the perfect looking thing.
But they're just like me.
Yeah, well, that's not a model.
Just like that girl. Like, you're not just like that model. That's why all these people are like,
don't call her a model.
You know, Marilyn Monroe was a size 12.
Different era.
I'm like,
different lens cameras too.
It wouldn't matter where
well,
you
size
were
12
at.
Was different back
it
then.
No matter what time you were at. Do you know why? Because you ain't Marilyn Monroe.
Right, right. And she paid
I don't give a fuck.
She paid for a little bit.
She ain't Marilyn Monroe.
True that.
So
true
get
that.
The fuck out of
she
here
was
with
also
that
also sexy
nonsense.
And smart.
Yeah, so get the fuck out of here with that. Happy yeah. birthday.
She married playwrights.
Marilyn sucked that dick. What are you doing?
Right. She knew what she was
bitch,
doing.
My family's here.
And also, Marilyn Monroe had tons of self-esteem issues, which led to a lot
exactly.
of her drug use.
Yep.
So, a size 12 that was propped up as beautiful also felt the pressure of looking a certain mm-hmm. way and the thing about models. So, a model is just supposed to be an ideal. They're just selling products. They're selling magazines.
Right.
You look through that magazine, all the ads, the beer that has like the perfect head of foam at the top.
Right.
Oh, that's a right. model beer.
Right, right, right.
That's discriminatory towards right. the beer I pour in my
that
ass.
Model burger
sometimes.
At the Burger King.
That's right. You never get one that looks like that.
Never.
In fact, people
never.
Will post online, right. like, look at my shitty Big
like,
Mac.
Not, like, they spray it with like syrup or some shit so that it looks juicy.
Every time the McRib comes out, someone will post like a picture of a McRib and the reality of what they got.
Right.
Because the picture is the model.
And the McRib is the model rib because it has no bones.
Right. Yeah, it just has ridges.
Like models, they have
where
no bones.
Bones used.
Yeah. Well, this one does.
They have nothing but bones.
She can get a bone at the tail.
So if you're going to apply that standard to model people, then apply it to every other model
just
you
look at. Just mad that ain't you. Just drop yeah. it, man.
That's all it is.
You.
That's all it is.
Start
I don't
newsletter.
Look that good. She still looks better than me.
Start your own newsletter.
So. You know, I went
fuck
to the
her.
Store.
Do like Oprah. Put yourself on the cover.
Every goddamn thing.
I bought a shirt, and like the armpits were yellow. That's a model shirt.
Model shirt.
I'm going to buy that shirt. It represents the average shirt.
That's a Walmart special.
Models should represent the average. Yeah. Supermodels should even more represent the average.
But if models were average, then what would we have for standards?
Exactly. And what are the models then?
Broke.
Broke ass. Let's do that. You know, we didn't do that Super Bowl video. Let's do the Super Bowl video.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. I'll pull it up.
This is the title of the video is the Super Bowl rigged?
This guy's a pastor, by the way.
Yes. It's a game you play for money.
No one would know more than a pastor.
Which is a game you play for money.
He's got an ad. I'm counting down at 5 seconds so fast. Skip. Okay, here we go. This is it's called his show is called The Manning Report. His last name is Manning. He doesn't have Peyton or Eli on. It's just called The Manning Report. Is a Super Bowl rigged? This is after the game, after the final play controversy.
So now was the Super Bowl rigged?
Oh, Jesus.
All right, that's my question. So, man, why would you ask a question like that? This is that. Well, all right, okay. All right, let's go back to
Dr. James Manning. What are the odds that doctorate is legit? Did he probably
What was the title of his book that he was listing right there? It was like CIA, Columbia, Obama, the trial of blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of shit going on.
So, man, why
Atla Ministry, CIA, Columbia, Obama, Historic Trial of the Millennium.
Those aren't words. That's not a sentence.
So that's Atlanta. Yeah, he's from Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so is a Super Bowl?
You ask a question like rigged. That. This was that. Well, all right. Okay. All right. Let's go back to Deflategate. All right. And you know, a few years ago, the Patriots had this issue with their credibility as well. Right. And the real reason why I'm asking the question was
he's doing that thing where like let me just take pregnant pauses to sound smart. It's so complicated. Let me just unpack this a little bit.
You're thinking these thoughts so hard.
The thing is, as a Super Bowl rigged is because of this. I mean, you've got to keep the hype going. This is Super Bowl, what, 59? What was it? I don't even
49,
know.
49. Whatever.
Come on, son.
But the thing of it is that...
Come on, man.
It's got to be bigger and better every year. You can't have a mediocre Super Bowl.
Last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, we've had plenty of them, right?
The Broncos, Seahawks, it was 36-0.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know what Super Bowl it is. He doesn't know...
one is this? 59, 109? I don't know.
He doesn't know the most recent history of Super Bowl. Like, literally last year.
How long have I been talking?
You can't have a mediocre Super Bowl. You can't.
Right. It's got to be intense. It's you can't have one team running away with 100-10 or something like that.
Well,
you can't do that.
Last year you did.
Because nobody's coming back after a couple of years.
So now he's asking for money. Support our ministries by giving tithes and offerings.
Last year was a blowout and people did come back. And
I don't know a lot of ministries that are called Manning Reports.
The Manning Report is his YouTube show.
Yeah.
So the ministry is probably the Manning Ministries, Dr. James Manning. Doctor.
.gov.org.
Earned his doctorate.
.com.
Greatly superior than the other. So my question is...
Atlas, right out of New York.
Is that... Have they figured out, like they figured out everything? I mean, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Because
wait,
figured
what?
He keeps asking the questions.
You believe that the presidential elections are rigged? And do you believe that, you know, the way the count breaks down is it depends on who got the most money? Right?
Right.
And they just have, they hype up competition or even congressional elections for that matter.
He's off on tangents.
Mayor,
now.
Governor's elections.
He almost said erections.
They're rigged. Do you believe that? Right.
You do.
Okay. All right.
Is he talking to an audience? We all know.
I tell you what I don't believe. Well, you know, the New York Knicks, if y'all heard about them, they're
stop,
what
Pete.
The fuck?
Quit trying to, Pete, just let just, it wash just, over you.
He just
let
mid-sentence.
It wash over you like the blood of Jesus.
I tell you what I do believe. ADD is real. I can't focus on a thought. New York Knicks.
This basketball team that plays their home base is Madison Square Garden in New York City.
MSG.
They haven't won a game in 2 years. I haven't won a game since they had Clyde Frazier with them.
What?
They haven't won games.
Anyway. So they got this guy Carmelo Anthony, right? I don't like him.
Damn.
But everybody that calls him Melo. I don't know why.
If he was like, Carmelo Anthony's a thug.
How would you not know why they call him Melo?
Yeah.
His name is Carmelo. Carmelo Anthony. Everyone calls him Melo.
I don't know why.
I don't know
why.
I know why elections are run the way they're run. I understand all that. I know
I
why.
I just don't know why.
Carmelo Anthony would be called Melo.
Total mystery.
Yeah. I know lots of things. As you see, I know how to put on a three-piece suit with a purple shirt.
He got a lot going on. He's sitting beneath a middle passage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a middle passage that takes you to Harlem.
To Harlem, right? Yeah.
The promised land.
I know how to get to Harlem.
We're going
to
take you through these gates to Harlem.
I just don't know why you would call Carmelo Melo. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird.
So the deal is this, is that they're losing games so they can have first dibs on the draft. In the NBA draft,
they're losing
right?
games because they suck.
The lowest right. team yeah. gets the first pick. So they rigging stuff. They won a few games, suck. But the whole thing is rigged. All right, so them. Now let's go back to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Thank you.
Whoa. Before we get to the Super Bowl, we've already dealt with the fact that we believe that national elections are rigged. Okay. We've already dealt with the issue that we believe that this Super Bowl is a big thing in America, and it makes a lot of money. It makes a lot of people famous, and so you can't just have a mediocre Super Bowl. Every Super Bowl has got to be outdo the other one.
Not true. Not true.
We already agree to that, right?
No. Don't,
so now
I
what
disagree.
We're now to ask is the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation, is
literally
that rigged or is it real? Is it Memorex or is it real? Oh.
See, now this guy's a pastor, so I could say to him, "All right, is Jesus real?" And he could say, yeah, I'd be like, Santa Claus. Now, Santa Claus is rigged, right? And the Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, not real, right? And he'd be like, no. I'd be like, I rest my case.
But we already know that bunnies don't lay eggs.
Yeah, Jesus is clearly fake because other things are fake.
That's basically his line of logic.
Chocolate Cadbury.
Now, do you guys think that a banana...
They haven't changed the recipe in 20 years. Same commercial. Why?
Is a banana red? Because bananas are fruit, though, right? We can agree on that.
Is it?
Now, apples are fruit. Apples, some apples are red. Strawberries.
It's also a computer company.
Are fruit. Strawberries are red. So strawberries
think about Steve Jobs.
And apples are both fruits, and they're red, and banana is a fruit. Well, I rest my case. So they call them red apples? I don't know why. I don't know why they call them red.
So now... Was that game last night rigged?
Get to it, dude.
Rigged.
I mean,
Riggs. Help me, Riggs.
Changing, going back and forward, you know, this, that, and the other. And it looks like, and then there's a questionable call as to whether or not the referees made the right call.
What?
And
no.
Everybody's all upset.
What? No.
What questionable call?
What
but you know, the Super Bowl is big business. It's like Joel Osteen. Hmm. I mean, you got to keep it relevant.
Oh man, he's hating. That's yeah. he just, that's
that was a shot.
Now we get to the real issue. He's just hating. Jealous of Joel Osteen.
Osteen is the NFL of mega pastors.
Pastors. He's not a little hating.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Joel Osteen. So I ask you, since Joel Osteen,
is Joel Osteen rigged?
Let me say other words.
It's rigged.
Let me say other words that might get you in the frame.
I don't like his eyebrows.
Can't let people like me criticize Joel Osteen. I can't get on Larry King and criticize. Now Joel Osteen can get on Larry King and criticize anybody he wants.
You can't get on Larry King.
That's jealousy right there.
Hater.
You know he was watching a Joel Osteen interview, mad as shit.
Who has Joel Osteen criticized?
Yeah, who books that?
He doesn't criticize anyone. Joel Osteen is all about positive
reinforcement.
Man, you understand how much he was squeezing his remote? When he was watching that Larry King interview, he probably broke that shit. He probably just squeezed it and until it was like 100 pieces.
Osteen can criticize Jesus.
What?
I mean, he can.
What?
But you can't criticize Joel Osteen.
I don't think he has.
I think you
will. So my question is this.
What?
Because, you got to keep the money. You got to keep the economy going. So the Super Bowl plays a significant part, maybe 3% of the economy. Chicken wings, pizza joints, Pepsi Cola.
That's why. Are chicken wings an economy driver, Andy? Did I miss?
I think we
that
could,
is driving.
If chicken wings cease to exist, we'd be all right. We'd replace them with something else.
They're a car, a driver of the economy.
Hey, I don't know. Bars might close if chicken wings stop.
Look, you guys, is the Super Bowl big business? I'm not
the
totally
Super Bowl
sure.
Is it? Has to be exciting.
I know the Super Bowl chicken wings.
Because big business. The Super Bowl sells all the wings and pizza. And wings and pizza are like, I don't know, 3% of the economy. I just based that on nothing. 3% of the economy based on Super Bowl 60s. Numbers that wasn't a blowout.
I'm running on that ballot.
Hotel, gasoline, okay. Prostitutes, gambling.
He did throw prostitutes.
I mean, a significant part of the American economy is derived. Let's say if the Super Bowl doesn't happen, they decide we're not going to have the Super Bowl. Then, you may, the GDP may go down by 5%.
49. That figure is low, though, compared with the 50 million San Francisco, the host for the next year.
He posted this on the screen. He's talking about the money spent, the billion spent on the Super Bowl, which is really a drop in the bucket, honestly. Yeah.
It looks like 3% of the economy.
And I think about all the chickens that were killed.
Back to the chicken. Did he just say, think about all the chickens that were killed?
He's not done.
I have never thought about a chicken. I've eaten a lot of chicken over the course of my life. And I have never thought about any chicken being killed.
He's about to break down the chicken theory. All right. So he's not just going to leave you hanging on that one.
Part of the American economy is derived. Let's say if the Super Bowl doesn't happen, they decide we're not going to have the Super Bowl.
Let it roll.
Then the GDP may go down by 5%.
Now 5%. Okay, so here comes the chicken.
And I think about all the chickens that were killed.
Americans eat 1.23 billion chicken wings Super Bowl weekend.
Chickens born hatching the egg 2 days ago, and they pump them up with steroids. You've been eating those buffalo wings on that, and they're on steroids. That chicken in 10 days, he's ready to be plucked and killed.
Let me tell you something, son. I know the fuck you eat a lot of chicken. I know what a chicken eater looks like.
Gobble, gobble.
You would be one of them. Don't act like you ain't eating chicken, son.
The chicken is hatched, and then 10 days later,
10 days.
He's ready to be plucked.
It's muscular.
It takes 10 days for a chicken to grow.
To mature.
Call the chicken Mark McGuire. He said it's muscular.
Maturity. It takes 10 days for a chicken to grow to maturity.
In 10 days.
It's got like trap muscles.
You're breaking home run records.
It takes 10 days.
And ready for Domino's Pizza.
Their chickens are flying around. Chickens don't fly, these chickens.
And so, hey, look, they killed over the last week so people could have buffalo wings and pizzas. I mean, you're talking about chicken heaven. I mean, the chickens.
No,
all
not.
The please chickens were killed.
Please pause for a second. There is a chicken heaven. Because I want to go.
You know what's not in chicken heaven? Domino's pizza. There's no Domino's pizza in chicken heaven.
Chicken hell.
Chicken heaven is a black man.
I bet
dream.
If chickens went to heaven, they'd still want to be on the roids. They probably like the roids, except for the whole being killed for the meat part.
Do they sell grape soda there? Because I want
exclusive.
Some.
There's rivers of grape soda.
Rivers of grape soda.
Chicken heaven.
Do the chickens have pimples and bad dude heaven?
Chickens must have lived a fucked up life.
Chickens got pimples and bad tempers.
I mean, you're talking about chicken heaven.
Yes.
I mean, you chickens, are. All the chickens were killed. All the cheese, Domino's pizza.
Jesus, Calvin.
The Illuminati, you know, folks.
Budweiser beer. And by the way.
And by the way.
Is right. You got to have the best commercial.
Well, yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, was that game rigged last night?
How does that even apply?
I don't know how that relates.
Underneath, please help support our ministry because, by giving you a tithe and
you offerings. Know, so, man, football is the American. No, baseball is the American's pastime.
He's disagreeing with himself now.
Don't you try to tell me what to think or say or do.
What? You just told us what to think.
I just asked a question.
Oh, sorry.
You listen to the Manning Report, everybody. I am he, James David Manning. I'll be back with more of the Manning Report, but I want to know, was that game rigged last night?
You could have
that game rigged.
Nothing about the game.
Yeah, he didn't tell us nothing.
Like, okay, they were on the 1 yard line.
Thank you, Rod.
I don't think he even saw the Super Bowl.
Thank you, Rod, from the Blackout Tips for sending us that.
A lot of the comments are in agreement with him. Like, everything's rigged, man. You're right. Like, he's got disciples here posting.
Of course.
Bro, I'm a disciple. Well,
Adloud of New York.
How they going to lose this game?
Adloud of New York, that's that church that has gone after Barack too many times to even count. They put shit up on their sign outside of church and shit. Like,
oh, where?
Yeah, ATLAH in Harlem.
Oh.
That's that church.
Okay. Atla Worldwide
okay,
Church.
Okay. They somebody to watch on Sundays.
Yeah, almost sounds like a record label, like Atla Worldwide. What? Fool, what?
World Star.
Worldwide. You know, that kind of thing.
James David Manning is a chief pastor of Atla Worldwide Church on 123rd Street.
Is it real?
Oh, it's 123rd Street uptown.
And the chickens. But what about the cheese?
You go over to Sylvia's and eat chicken at least twice a week.
Yes, he do.
Don't even act like you don't.
Here's Manning's views on he's been criticized for things about the homosexuals.
Ah,
he's referred to himself as the sodomite slayer.
Sounds like you want to fuck gay dudes. That's
yeah, say layer. I slayed some ass.
That's a comic book character.
I'm slaying ass.
Side of my
he says,
he's in the Blunt Man comics.
I don't think anyone who promotes homosexuality lifestyle and tries to make it a national, international event and create warfare upon everybody else, that the appropriate response would be to stone them back to the Stone Age or stone them back to hell.
Mm.
Manning's views on homosexuality include the beliefs that white homos are going to take the black woman's man.
Wait, what?
White gay people are preying on black men, and black women can't find men because white men who are gay have converted them.
Okay.
He wants Harlem to be a, quote, homo-free zone.
Yeah, this guy loves dick. That's
he's gay. He's gay.
I've seen the collar on your suit, man. It's too pressed.
Yeah, he's gay.
he's also criticized.
He's drifting into Eddie Long territory. He's drifting now.
Manning stated that Starbucks puts male semen in their coffee and stated that millions of people around the world, quote, really think that the taste of semen is quite a flavor.
It is if you eat
pineapple.
Well,
we all know that semen.
Yeah, well, if you eat pineapple.
Bob Marley said that. Eat pineapples to make you guava jelly.
Here's what he says about Obama. Manning has expressed contempt for a range of American political leaders, stating that both George W. Bush and his father had anal sex with 100 men and comparing Barack Obama to Hitler and Satan. Manning came to public attention during a 2008 election after Atla posted several sermons of his that were harshly critical of Democratic candidate Barack Obama on YouTube.
How did he come up on the number of 100 men?
Yeah, how did you say?
How do you get that number?
That's a pretty...
We got to figure that's probably...
That's 100 men. You and your daddy have fucked 100 men.
That's a lot.
100 is 3% of all gay men. It's the GDP. It's the gay domestic product.
You know why he jump out that plane? You know why he want to jump out that plane every birthday?
Jumping in a man's ass.
There's a dick in.
Fool me once, but you can't fool me again.
Odd number to latch on to. 100.
How do you explain the stock market's being called NASDIQ and Dick Jones?
I guess because it's a big number, but it's not an impossible number. Like if he said 10,000, he ain't nobody fucking 10,000. But if you say 100, you're like, well, maybe he did fuck 100.
Because you know, like once they get to like 93, 94, they're like looking forward to that last one, the 100th. Yeah. You want to be the 100th.
Yeah, you gotta, come on now. Line them up.
Push through six more.
I get it. Skull and bone.
He called. Yeah, emphasis on the bones. He called Obama's mother white trash for becoming pregnant by a black man.
Damn.
Quote, it is common knowledge that African men.
He might get a bomb dropped on his head. That is a black president, now. That is a black man. You talking about his mama?
Is her vagina rigged? Is it Rick? I'm just asking.
3% of white vaginas are Rick.
3%. You got to think
for her pleasure.
And the cheese.
What about the chicken heads?
Rigged.
It's common.
1.23 billion chicken heads.
Awesome.
His quote. It is.
That's
common
why you know the Super Bowl is rigged.
This dude, man.
African men coming from the continent of Africa, especially for the first time, do diligently seek out white women to have sexual intercourse with. Generally, the most notable of white society choose not to intercourse sexually with these men, so it's usually the trashier ones who make their determinations that they're going to have sex. That's where the that's his rationale for the Obama's mother was white trash.
Damn.
He opposes gentrification in Harlem. Well, he's got, I guess some allies in that.
Ask him what he paid on that church. Ask him what tax he paid on that church, goddammit, with block. How many people live upstairs in the rectory?
Oh, he's denounced the influence of Charles Rangel, Al Sharpton, Cornel West, and Jay-Z, and has had harsh words for black people in general and black men in particular.
I like Charles Rangel. He just looks funny.
The group he named are such disparate. Everybody's going in. They're not like that's not like an army that he just named. Yeah. Like, he named people who are going in completely different directions. I don't like nobody.
He opposes everything.
Rangel. I like Rangel.
He just is a hater.
I mean, he got white hair and he wears nice suits.
I want to know more about his beef with Joel Osteen.
Oh, that's just
Joel Osteen getting paid and he ain't.
That's all that is. That's just
Joel Osteen can go on Larry King because Joel Osteen is
ain't
like
nobody bringing you on Larry King.
He's like a nice. He's like Joel Osteen to me is like a much lighter Billy Graham. Like every we've always had as Americans, has always had a religious person.
Yeah,
Billy Graham was it for Reagan and everybody else.
Joel Osteen's white. I like Joel Osteen insane, though.
Well, this video, this Super Bowl rigged video had like 1,900 views.
Of course.
I mean, Joel Osteen doesn't even walk out until like 10,000 people there in his church. Like he's like, I'm not going out there. Yeah. So they're on a way different level.
Oh, he's getting paid.
What's the time?
Hour 34.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Long
we
one.
We need one more to get out on, I think. Do we need one to get out on?
I don't think so.
You think we're good?
Yeah.
Fellas, y'all think we're good?
I feel solid.
I'm feeling good.
I think we did some good work today.
we didn't even get
the Lord's.
I think the next time I'm in New York, I'm going to stroll by this guy's church.
Man, I was just to
see what. I'm planning to go up this month. I'm going to stroll by this guy's church just to see what's happening.
We didn't get to Brian Williams.
Man, we got to go there. That's
we can touch on Brian Williams next time. That story ain't going nowhere.
Brian Williams?
And hold on to that video on Brian Williams.
We're going to wait on that.
I just think you got to fire Brian Williams.
Don't talk about it. He didn't.
Yeah. Misremembered. Listen, people, thanks so
much.
This
is my question. If Brian Williams is Ed Gordon, would he be fired?
Oh. Man.
If that was Tavis Smiley telling lies like that.
Juan Williams.
Juan Williams would probably,
because that would be for Fox.
He kept on.
Didn't he leave? He wasn't on Fox originally, though. Like, did he get fired?
I think he was on Fox.
He was on Fox.
No, he was on something before Fox.
He's always been on Fox.
Yeah.
I think he was on something before Fox, though. I think he went to Fox at some point.
You think he's one of the guys that got pulled in? I don't know. I think he was always.
He was around. Fox. He's been around because he's been talking here for a minute.
I saw him in Pentagon City's food court one day. I almost smacked the shit out of him. I was like, oh, there go Juan Williams. My hand's pulling back.
Hey, fuck Juan Williams.
You know who I like, don't like? Michael Eric Dyson.
I mean, I like him until he starts rhyming.
Right, he's one of those white dope. Like, I was like, nigga, this is the rap show.
He starts rhyming. Like, have you seen his wife?
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
She's Joel Osteen.
Man.
Juan Williams was on NPR.
Did he get canned off there?
After he went on the O'Reilly Factor.
Right? Yeah.
He had commented, look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know the kinds of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country, but when I get on the plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are Muslim, in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they identify themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
Bigot.
Fox News is like, you're hired. You're hired,
that's
kid.
That's your resume.
You passed the audition, kid.
This is how you get in, man. Rupert Murdoch.
But here's the thing is that, you know, about that statement, so he makes that statement, but he doesn't have the follow-up statement of, yeah, I get nervous, but, you know, I deal with it. It's my problem. It's not their problem.
After he got hired by Fox.
His statement was, yeah, I get nervous. And then he just looked in the camera like,
blink.
Don't you?
They going to do something.
Shouldn't they not be on this plane?
In that garb.
He didn't have the follow-up statement. They were all waiting. The execs at NPR were like, you don't got nothing else to say?
Sexiest thing you can see on a Muslim woman is her.
You get hired by Fox. Like,
and then he opened it up, but he's like, I saw a couple dudes praying in the corner. It was like, what?
They're on a plane, though.
I pray before I get on the plane, man. You don't know. Did Patrice O'Neal play before he got on the brand?
Look, God, I'm a good. I helped with her bags.
Look, I hold this old lady with
I'm a good guy. It's like
everybody. That's a huge coffin if it's the wrong way.
On the ground now. So listen, people. We're bringing this home. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast.
Your daughter,
as
yelling,
I know, she's yelling. We're gonna bring this home.
Trying to raise
as
the
always,
daughter.
Always bringing the joy, joy, bringing this for you. Come on back on Monday, tomorrow night, Draft House.
Yeah,
13th, 10:30 in the grill. Romaine and lettuce meets Three Guys On. It's the Sensual Side Show.
Side
come on in.
Show.
Haywood will be there.
Yes, it will.
Petey Steele will be there.
Yes,
the Three
will.
Guys On will be there.
Yes,
the unnamed singer will be there.
Tim Miller will be there.
Tim Miller lives.
Hashtag.
He may be there. So come on in. We'll be there for you guys. There's no charge. We will just be passing a bucket at some point.
The love bucket.
Love bucket. We hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. I want to thank Haywood and Pete Bladel for sitting in with us today. We had a great time with you guys. Pete and I will be on a show tonight. So we got things to do for that. You guys, anything else coming up?
As always, you can check me out at Solly's. This is Haywood talking. You know, you can hear my voice. First third Tuesdays, 1942 11th Street. It's at the corner of 11th and U. Come check us out. Attack of the Comics. We gets busy.
And just at Pete Bladel on Instagram and Twitter. And once again, at QED in Astoria on February 12th at 9 p.m. right by the Ditmar stop. Strong takes with a fantastic lineup.
Strong
come check
takes.
It out.
Nice. Nice. I love Astoria. Astoria, Queens is great.
It's the shit. Nice. Love it.
It's even a great name. It's Astoria.
So you guys come on back. We'll be here for you guys, as always. We hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
Hey, Wood.
And Pete Bladel.
And we are Three Guys On, plus one, so we're four. We are out.
Timberland lives.
Hashtag.
Fried chicken, fly vixen. Give me heart disease, but need you in my kitchen. You a bird, but you ain't a key. Got wings, but you can't fly away from me. Driving in your bucket seats all the way from Kentucky to fuck with me. Look what you done to me, who's number one to me. After you shower, you in your gold medal flower. Then you rub your hot oil for about a half an hour. You in your hot tub, I'm looking at you salivating. Dry you off, I got your paper towel waiting. Lay you down cause you're red hot. Louisiana style, you make my head rot. Then I flop to the bed, then plop. When we done, I need rest. Don't know what part of you I love best. Your legs or your breasts. Mrs. Fried Chicken, you gon' be a nigga deaf. Created by Southern black women to serve massive guests.